The reading is Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30. Ezekiel 33 verse 30, page 865 in the Chapel Bibles. Here is what God is saying to the prophet Ezekiel. As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, "Come and hear the message that has come from the Lord." My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. When all this comes true, that's all that's been said before in this prophet, the judgment, when all this comes true, and it surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 to 33. I'm going to call this discourse, Popular Preachers Warned. Popular Preachers Warned. Actually, I want it to be slightly longer than that, but you can't get that many characters on the internet upload. Popular Preachers and Their Hearers Warned. Why do I say popular preachers? Well, that'll come out in the passage as we read it. Let's just look at it very briefly. This is what God says to Ezekiel. Verse 30. Your countrymen, that is the Israelites, are talking about you. They talk together about you, it says in verse 30. They're gossiping about you. They talk about you. By the walls and at the doors of their houses. So inside, in private, publicly a bit. But they're having a good old chinwag about you. And what they're saying is this, says God. Verse 30. They're saying to one another, "Come and hear the message that has come from the Lord." This is what they're saying. "Have you heard that that chap's down there this morning preaching? Let's go down and hear him. He's come here again. Let's cross the road and hear him." Of course, Ezekiel doesn't know this, but God knows it. God gets into the bedroom. He knows what we're saying in private. He gets into our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. And this is what the Jews are saying about Ezekiel. "He's a terrific preacher. You want to come and hear him. So let's all turn up." Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that must be like? Imagine we came this morning. Not like we've got here now, a few of us. Imagine when we got here, the place was crowded in the car park. They were all out there standing, waiting to get in. And even now, 10:15, they're still coming. I can see them streaming up the road. They've been talking all morning. They were saying yesterday, "That bloke's there. Let's go tomorrow and hear him." Terrific, isn't it? I reckon the churches I know, and the preachers I know, I reckon if they had that, they'd give their eye teeth for it if they could get it. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Not like it is now with all these doors and windows closed, nobody interested round here. They'd all be flocking. Actually, to a certain extent, it has happened in history. It has happened from time to time. You know, when Whitfield was preaching, people would flock to hear him preach. He started his open-air preaching very near where I was born, on Hannah Mount, preaching to the miners in the open air. And he preached at Rose Green, a place called Rose Green, and that was near my sports ground while I was a boy at school. He preached there one day in the snow, and he preached to 20,000 people at Rose Green. Well, let's say that was exaggerated. Let's say it was only 10,000. Still pretty staggering, isn't it? I reckon that if we could get this, we'd be over the moon about it. Let's go on. My people, verse 31, come to you, as they usually do. Oh, I just want to flash in the pan. They were always doing it. And they sit before you. And their ears are open, and their eyes are open, and they're fixed on you, and they are listening to your words. Terrific stuff. I haven't known anything like it in my life, and I've been having a go at this for over 60 years. I haven't known anything like it. Have you? I mean, you preachers have done. Let's ask Andy Little if they're flocking round him in Bedford. Are they? I don't think so. I'm not getting at Andy. I mean, it would be even worse if I was there, but you can imagine it. My people come to you, and so on. Ah, but now, listen. Now, listen. They sit before you, listen to your words, and then the fatal word, the absolutely fatal word, but. Now, I don't know if you remember the days when you used to apply for jobs, perhaps you didn't, but you used to apply for a job, and you'd go for an interview, and the chap would say, well, we'll let you know. And then a day or two later, a letter would drop through the box, and you'd open it up. And it would start something like this. Dear sir, whatever your name was, or Mrs., or whatever your name. They said, dear madam, but we'd like you to know that your interview was first class. You proved a very strong candidate. You have all the qualifications we need for this post. Your experience, very good indeed, yes. What's going to come next? But. It's inevitable. If they start like that, you haven't got the job. But, unfortunately, there was another candidate just a little bit better experience than yours. It's almost an invariable rule. If it starts on a high note, it's going to end in disaster. Yeah, the people are flocking. They were talking yesterday. We've got to go down there. Get up early and get there. And they come and they sit and they listen. Boy, they're taking it all in. But what is the fatal point of this? They listen to your words. Actually, they're my words, says God. They want to hear you, actually, but they're saying they want to hear me. And they do all the listening. The fatal point is, though, it doesn't make a scrap of difference to their lives. They do not do what you tell them. They do not put them into practice. With their mouths, they express devotion. Terrific. That was a very fine sermon. Terrific. I really enjoyed that. That was good. When you hear again, I'll come and hear you. Great stuff. Yeah. That's what they're saying to Ezekiel. And God can hear it. And God doesn't want that. He's not impressed with that. And he's warning Ezekiel not to be impressed with it. Why not? Because God does not want us to listen to the word. He wants us to do it. It's not the hearing of the word. It's the doing of the thing. How do I get that? Well, how about Isaiah 29 and verse 13? This people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I don't listen to their words, says God. I don't listen to them talking about me. I don't bother about their attendance at the temple or wherever it is. I want the obedience, but their hearts are not in it. Jesus quoted it too in Matthew 15. How about James? Don't be hearers of the word only. Can you finish it? Well, you should be able to. Do not be hearers only, but doers also. With their hearts, they're not obeying. What God picks on here is greedy for unjust gain. You must remember he's in the days of the old covenant here. God is speaking in those days, and he's taking them back to the law of Moses. And what he is saying to them, they talk about this message, this preaching. Message here means the word from God, not just simply a discourse, an actual word from God. They've got the word from God, but they won't do it. And of course, it's the law in those days. But what about us? What about me? For us, it's the gospel. How many people have I preached to in my time who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, have not obeyed the gospel? Jesus says, repent and believe. Trust me. Come to me for salvation. How many times I have told men that, and women? How many have heard it from me? Have I commanded them? Have I invited them? Have I exhorted them? Have I urged them? Have I pleaded with them? Have I warned them that if they do not repent, they will perish? Have I not told them if they do come to Christ, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Have I not said that? Have I not said it to you? Well, if I haven't, I just have said it to you. My friend, what I'm saying is, hearing sermons and loving to hear sermons, loving to hear the gospel, loving to talk about hearing the gospel and all the rest of it is useless unless we have actually been converted under that gospel. No, it's worse than useless. Because I believe all those invitations, all those warnings will come back forever and ever and haunt us. And I say us. Because it's not only the preachers and the hearers of Ezekiel. I am the most liable for this, because not only am I a hearer, I was the preacher in the first place. And James tells me, James 3:1, preachers get the first judgment, and I recognize that. Can you imagine the condemnation to me if I've handled the word of God over these 60 years and I'm still not converted? Well, you must be converted to go to church. That doesn't mean you're converted. Well, you preach. That doesn't mean you're converted, does it? It's trusting Christ, isn't it? Relying upon him. And of course, it's not only the unbeliever. What about us, those who are believers? Indeed. Let me just go on, because I don't want to keep it too long. Verse 32. Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice. Oh, they know how to compare the preachers. Oh, he's a terrific preacher. Yeah, I mean, I really good preacher. Yeah, and we go to hear him and all that kind of stuff. Remember the title? Popular Preachers Warned. You play on an instrument and play it well. They hear your words, but do not put them into practice. I don't see how it could be any more plain. You don't have to be a great theologian to understand this passage. Bringing it down to myself, bringing it down to our times. I've taken part in it myself. It's a wonderful opportunity to disseminate the Word of God these days. We can upload it, as we say, on the internet. And you know, we can look at the downloads and all the hits and the likes, and we can see all these people all over the world who are liking it and listening to it. And we can get really pleased about it. popular preachers warn. It's not the hearing of sermons. It's not the number of likes on Facebook. It's not the number of downloads or uploads, whatever you want to call them. It's not the number of hits. It's the doing of it. That's what God wants. That's what He demands. Do you know, I did a little test. Can't test everybody, but there are certain men that I know are in the real top league of preachers. They are on the internet and they get hits and likes by the thousand. Terrific. Tremendous. They only got to put something up and the next day there's hundreds have watched it or listened to it or whatever it is. Tremendous stuff. And I looked to see what they said on this text. I won't name any names, but I looked at X, Y, Z, P, Q, R. I looked at quite a lot of them. Do you know what they said on it? Nothing. Now, I don't say they didn't preach on it somewhere, but I didn't find anything on the internet. Somebody will tell me there is somebody, but I didn't know everybody. But I've listened to quite a few of the top notchers, and not one of them, as far as I can see, ever addressed this text. And yet, if ever a text speaks to the popular preacher, this is the one. Ezekiel, be careful. Men love to hear you preaching. Men come, they want to talk about it. They're talking about it when they go home. Did you hear that? That was wonderful stuff. Lovely. Yeah, and all the rest of it. And they don't do it. So God said, what can we do about it? Not at all. This is what He says, verse 33. When all this comes true, that is the judgment that God has pronounced through Ezekiel. And He's pronounced some judgment, I'll tell you if you read it. When all that comes to pass, and it surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. How do you read that? It tells me that I preached this little discourse this morning, and I have to answer for it. I have listened to this discourse this morning, and I have to answer for how I have responded. And you have listened to, and you have to respond and answer for it. You see, I think people think about attending church or chapel or listening to preachers or whatever it is. I think they think it is a kind of game. But it's not a game at all. This is one of the most serious things, if not the most serious thing we can do. The illustration comes to my mind. It's nothing to do with Alan. I had it in my mind yesterday. I know Adam Brooks at this moment, a surgeon is just preparing to make the first incision in an operation. And that's very serious indeed. And I don't belittle it. What he does in the next 2 or 3 hours is of the utmost importance. No, not quite the utmost, but nearly the utmost important. It can save a life, or it can take it. What I've been doing this morning and what you've been doing this morning is more serious, because it has eternal consequences. I really believe that, because the Word of God tells me. Whenever I open my Bible, I'm doing one of the most dangerous things I can do. I'm either going to be blessed by this Word or condemned by it. God is warning this popular preacher and all who hear him. It's not the hearing of the discourses. It's the practice of the Word of God. My friend, if you have never trusted Christ, you have never been converted to him. You've been attending chapel, I'm not denying it, but you've never been converted to him, and you're not relying upon him. I warn you, and I plead with you, make no delay, get this right now. Now. And for those of us who have trusted Christ, I think, well, I'm rebuked by this text, and I want, not only in this coming year, but the rest of my days, to live more closely in obedience to what God tells me in His Word. It's not the knowing of it. It's not having the books on the shelves. It's not being able to repeat it all. It's the doing of it. An ounce of practice is worth a ton of hearing or whatever else you want to say. I know it's a very solemn word, but what a way to begin the year. Yesterday morning I was preaching at Dorothea Court, and we opened the year there with the preciousness of Christ. That's a good note to start on. But this is also a good note to warn us that when we hear the word of God, help us, O Lord, to reduce to practice what we hear. Not just simply to hear it, not even to like it, but to obey it. May God give us that grace. May he speak to us again through this passage. Amen.